Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Monday here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're joined by Ray Fittipaldo. We've got a long weekend after the Steelers won their game Thursday, but now all the questions point to what's up with George Pickens, how do the Steelers get him more involved, and what's his future with the team? We'll talk about that, Cam Hayward's return, and an AFC North division that just refuses to lose. It's a fun episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. He's Ray Fittipaldo, one of our esteemed Steelers beat writers here. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can find all our work at post-gazette.com. You can find this show, the North Shore Drive podcast, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed. Subscribe to this channel to get more of all the daily content that comes out from Post-Gazette Sports here. Reminder, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Be sure to get down to Mike's Beer Bar in the North Shore. They're right across the street from PNC Park on Federal Street. They have over 20 TVs for you to watch whatever sporting event you want to catch, and over 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, 80 of those local beers being available on tap. We'll get to more on Mike's Beer Bar later, but really, the big talk in Pittsburgh this weekend wasn't the win, wasn't celebrating the Steelers being 5-3 and being ahead of where a lot of people had them being. It was George Pickens. Now, we're going to skip all the Instagram nonsense because that's where a lot of people were focusing on social media. Who is he following? Who is he unfollowing? That's not the concern. But what is a concern for a lot of people, and a legitimate one, is George Pickens' demeanor at the end of the Titans win, where he could be seen on the side on the bench with a towel over his head, not celebrating with Deontay Johnson, his first touchdown since George Pickens joined the team last year. And then also coming off, being the first to come off the field at the end of the game, first in the locker room, and not exactly looking too pleased despite the team won. Now, he did have two catches for negative 1 yards, and he also missed a toe tap, so there's a lot of discussions there. But one thing Kenny Pickett brought up after the game, and I asked him this question because I wanted to see how Kenny would respond, and Kenny was like, hey, and I asked him, what has to happen more with George Pickens to get involved? And Kenny's like, he's helping us so much because teams are double teaming him. They're keeping a safety over top. They're opening up so many other things because they want to take away George Pickens. That is an asset to the Steelers. Ray, how much of what you see right now is more so about that, what defenses are trying to do against the Steelers and do against George Pickens, versus Pickens still does need to be a lot better than he is right now?
I mean, I think it's 90% of it, Chris. I mean, if you look at the way he's been defended, really over the last three or four games, lots and lots of double teams. You go back to the Ravens game, got single coverage for whatever reason, he took advantage. But the majority of the time, teams are paying special attention to him. And since Deontay Johnson has been back, the Steelers have done a pretty decent job of, having Deontay Johnson make an impact on games. He's done it in the two games that he's been back. I think he's up around 80 or 90 yards in each of those games. And, of course, he scored the winning touchdown here against the Titans. So, who is George mad at? Is George mad at himself for not getting his feet down in the end zone? Or is he mad at Matt Canada for not scheming to get him open more? I also will point out, Chris, that Pat Freiermuth is out. Once Pat gets back, I think that's going to have a positive impact on the offense. And, you know, this is kind of obvious if you look at their numbers, but Calvin Austin and Allen Robinson haven't really stepped up the way you would want them to step up. So
agreed.
I don't know if George is frustrated with the OC, if he's frustrated with the other receivers, but whatever the case is, I think he just has to have a little bit of patience. You know, Freiermuth will be back soon, and I think, you know, we'll finally see what this offense is truly capable of in the passing game. Yeah, but right now I think he's just got to be patient and just sort of stay the course and, you know, let Deontay get his, so to speak.
It really seems like this town is gripped with PTSD of Antonio Brown, because anytime any receiver, and it's not just George Pickens, but Deontay Johnson, you know, he would post like cryptic messages on Twitter sometimes, and people are like, oh, is he turning into AB? And now George Pickens, you know, just does things on Instagram, and he's, oh, is he turning into AB? Everyone turns into AB with this. But this happens everywhere. Look at the Bills with Stephon Diggs. The last 2 years, there have been like cryptic messages that he's put, and oh, he's going to be gone. The Bills can't keep him, and he's back in the year, and Josh Allen's thrown him touchdowns, and they're fine. And so I think part of this is just, there's, especially NFL wide receivers, this is just what happens when things aren't working well. And the wide receiver is a peculiar position to be in, because you can do everything. You could be the best route runner in the world and not get targeted. And that can be frustrating when you're doing your job so well and no one's giving you any chances. Now, again, George Pickens had some chances. One particular chance where if he just gets a simple toe tap in, he gets a touchdown, and the Steelers might win that game going away. And then maybe he is different. And to your point, maybe Pickens isn't mad as much at everyone else as he's mad at himself for missing that touchdown and then not getting a chance to make up for it at the end of the game. That could be that. And to be fair to George Pickens, he hasn't said anything. It's just been him posting on Instagram, or just even going private on Instagram and people freaking out about it. So again, that's not the big concern here. I think the big concern here will be, how does Pickens' demeanor continue in these next few games? You know, if he's given one-on-one opportunities, and if he's given those targets, what does he do with them? When he's not given, if he's being doubled by the Packers in this upcoming game and he doesn't get a lot of targets because of it, how does he handle that? That, to me, will be the important part of where George Pickens goes in his career with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, Chris, one more point about the offense. You know, we concentrated just on the passing game here. But when teams play cover two shell the way they were in this past game, excuse me, with the Titans, look at the running game. Look at the Steelers' running power, getting guards up on linebackers, getting tackles up on linebackers. That's going to open up as well. Jaylen Warren had, I think, 88 yards on 11 carries, 8 yards per carry. Najee Harris, I think, 69 on 16 carries. So it's not just a passing game. The running game is a big beneficiary of when George Pickens is double teamed too. So I just think he's got to be sat down. He's got to be told. He's got to be given a bigger perspective of just number 14 in a box, right? He's got to have that whole offensive perspective. And listen, it's not like Mike Tomlin doesn't have experience with this. he's been dealing with this really since – for the better part of the last decade. You know, so we'll see how it turns out. You know, I think it's something to watch here, but I don't necessarily think that it was worth all the hullabaloo that was all over social media here over the sort of mini bye weekend that the Steelers had.
No, I agree with that entirely. Now, I want to ask you this about George Pickens, though. Where does he fit into what the Steelers' future plans at wide receiver need to be? Because right now, Deontay Johnson's getting paid, but the Steelers are going to be in an interesting position where his contract's going to run up soon. And then George Pickens, his rookie deal has 2 more years left on it. You still got Calvin Austin. Like you said, they haven't stepped up. You know, I'll ask you another question about Calvin in a second here, but what's the future of this Steelers wide receiver room? Do you foresee right now that this team may need to just go get another wide receiver that's going to be a contributor very soon in the draft to give themselves a cushion so that they are not having, that they're not being put between a rock and a hard place?
I think in a perfect world, you know, the contracts are kind of synced up. When George is eligible for a new contract, Deontay's contract will pretty much be off the book. So, in an ideal world, you know, George would then make number one receiving money, and they can make the make a decision on Deontay. Do they bring him back for, you know, a more modest amount, or do they simply move on? And I think regardless of that, Chris, I think they need to draft a receiver in the first two rounds in May. You look at the production of Allen Robinson. I know he's made a couple of big third down catches, but it's really like one catch a game if you look at his numbers, one or two catches a game. Calvin Austin, other than jet sweeps and taking the top off the defense, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, usually doesn't, what's his role? There's no intermediate passing game with him. And I just don't see him developing into a, you know, top three tier sort of receiver within any offense. So people say he's a gadget guy. I don't want to pigeonhole him, but he's not developed into a top three receiver in my mind. So if you look at the Steelers' track record, and I know they have a new GM and a new director of player personnel, I understand that. But if you look at their track record, they've always gotten guys relatively early in drafts. I think they can do that again. You look at Andy's record in Philadelphia. He was never afraid to go out and get a receiver in the first round. Jalen Reagor didn't work out, okay? But Devonta Smith has in some respects. So, you know, I think they'll get together over the offseason, whether it comes in the first round or the second round or the third round, I don't know. But I think you could pretty much guarantee there's going to be one taken in the first three rounds of that draft.
I'm right with you there. Last question on the receivers before we move on here and talk some Cam Hayward. You brought up Calvin Austin, you know, right there. And I agree. There's he's not being used. But how much of that do you think is more on Calvin Austin versus maybe the Steelers offense, you know, is still limited, whether it's Matt Canada or Kenny Pickett, and it's just not him not getting as many opportunities because they've been so focused on using either their one or two player makers at wide receiver, the top two wide receivers, or using the run game?
Yeah, I think when Deontay Johnson was out, we saw Kenny try to do a lot of back shoulder throws to Calvin. And he's just a small guy. And you got to be able to be a bigger guy to have success in those 50-50 types of balls. He just didn't have a feel for that. So I think they tried to expand his route tree a little bit when Deontay was out. But since Deontay's been back, obviously he and George Pickens are your top two receivers. And then they've kind of just been divvying up the targets. And in a small sample size, or in a small size, you know, it's Allen Robinson, it's Calvin Austin, it's Connor Hayward. None of those guys are getting more than what, three or four or five targets in a game. And it's just kind of, it's kind of all Pickens and Johnson right now. So I don't know whose fault it is. You know, Robinson is sort of pigeonholed as that possession type of receiver. You know, I think they go to Calvin for maybe some of the bigger plays and the, you know, the stuff in the running game. But right now it is what it is. I, you know, I'm not saying that he's not going to be on the team next year, but like I said, I think they have to go out and get another receiver who can be in that top three. And then Calvin Austin is maybe that number four or number five guy. And maybe he can sort of figure out what his role is by this time next year.
Maybe we'll see there. Ray wrote a really, really good story on Cam Hayward this over the weekend. We want to look at the Steelers captain and his return to the field and what it's going to mean for the Steelers defense, run defense, everything because of his importance. We'll get to all that in a minute here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo talking Steelers. But first, I want to remind you this episode is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the number one bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar right on the North Shore. It's right across the street from PNC Park on Federal Street. You go there today. You can reserve a table with any of their 20 plus TVs that are on any sporting event that you can imagine, and that you can get that game right on the TV, right for you and your friends to enjoy. And you can enjoy one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, and 80 of those local beers being available on tap. It's an amazing options all across the board. And Mike's Beer Bar also switches beers out every single week. So you're getting new options every week. The menu is always changing. I've been there early in the morning when we're getting ready to film a show there on our Friday show, and they're switching out the menus. That's a whole process they have to do because they have so many options and they're trying to give you the best options out there, and they do. So go to Mike's Beer Bar today. And when you get there, you can also get a steak on a stone for one of their amazing meal options. It's your choice cut of steak, brought to you on a heated stone. Every piece that you cut off, you press into that stone. You can choose how well you want every piece of your steak done by simply pressing it into that stone and enjoying a great time at Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar to get your sports fix and experience the best bar in Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, talking Steelers. Ray, you wrote about Cam Hayward's making up for lost time after 7 weeks with his groin injury. Cam Hayward, when he was coming off the field, I swore he said, "It's like I need them 10 days now," because he was feeling his first action back. But I think what you could see him contributing in this game. You could see him helping in this game, and the Steelers' run defense wasn't necessarily elite in this game. They still let up 105 yards on the ground. But the past couple games, even with the Jaguars game before he returned, I think they're trending in a better direction, because early on the season, they gave up 188 to the Niners, 198 to the Browns. They gave up 139 to the Texans. And against the Jaguars and the Titans, they've kept it just a little over 100. Do you see Cam Hayward helping this defense get back on track there, or do you think that he's kind of limited in what he's going to be able to do at this part of his career?
No, I think once he gets his conditioning back, Chris, he's going to be, hopefully for the Steelers, the same old Cam Hayward. I think what you saw happen in that Titans game, he had to play a lot more snaps than they anticipated because Montrevious Adams went down early in that game with an ankle injury. And then on top of that, he had a really tough matchup with Pete Skoronski. I mean, Skoronski was highly touted rookie coming out of Northwestern. Yeah. And, you're going to expend a lot of energy when you're in one-on-one types of matchups with a really good player like that. So, I wrote about it. Cam was so gassed, he couldn't even stay on the field for the final play. And if you know Cam Hayward, he always wants to be out there in those situations where the game is in the balance. But he just physically wasn't there. I think, if I remember correctly, 41 of the 20 of the 74 defensive snaps, and we didn't get a number from Cam or from the coaches, but I'm guessing that number was probably supposed to be somewhere between 20 and 30, in his first game back. So he had to play more. I think this mini bye week helped. We'll have 10 days to get ready for that Packers game. So once he's back, I think it's going to be huge for that defense, not only in the run defense, Chris, but that interior pass rush really lacks without him. I mean, Larry Ogunjobi is okay. He doesn't give you a lot in the pass rush, though. Benton is good, but he's a rookie. Loudermilk doesn't give you much in the pass rush. Watts doesn't either. It's just it's one of those things where he's one of the elite players in his position in the NFL, and when he's out, you're going to miss him. But when he comes back, hopefully, he can come back and be the same player that he's always been.
Absolutely. Keanu Benton and Larry Ogunjobi both got three pressures in the game officially. And I agree. It's like that's decent. That's fine for what they're given. But when Cam Hayward's at his best, he's getting a lot more than that. And that's with a group that's already getting 10 pressures from Alex Highsmith and 7 pressures from TJ Watt in that game. But again, Cam Hayward, I think a big part of what Cam Hayward also brings is he's still that leader in the locker room. He's still the guy that everyone looks to on or off the field. Can his presence also shore up a lot of other things? Because I felt like last year too, even more than just his play, he was very much part of the defense coalescing and finding ways to come together and improve, especially in the run defense as the year went on. They went out starting as one of the worst run defenses in the league last year. That ended up, I think, being in the top 10 last year.
Yeah, listen, sometimes leadership is overstated, but I definitely think, Chris, in this situation with Minkah Fitzpatrick out, and he wasn't placed on IR, so that's really good news. It looks like he's going to be able to come back within a couple more weeks here. But then with Cole Holcomb going down, you know, it was terrible timing that Cole went out, but also with Cam coming back, it's like, okay, at least we got one of our guys back here. So
yeah,
they're going to have to deal with that Holcomb injury. I think that's maybe a little bit understated what he's meant to that defense here.
I agree.
Being on the field all the time, being one of the team's leading tacklers. But with Cam Hayward back, I just think he lifts up the spirit of everyone around him. He plays hard. That's contagious. And I think, you know, that could go a long way into, you know, how this defense plays in the second half. Obviously, Quan Alexander, Landon Roberts, Mark Robinson, they all have to play bigger roles than they have, you know, to this point. But those guys are veterans too. And I think Robinson was knocking on the door. So in that respect, maybe those guys can step up. Big shoes to fill. But, you know, I think with Cam back, I think that's one positive here for the Steelers going into this Packers game.
Certainly big shoes to fill for Mark Robinson to get in there. Cole Holcomb was playing well. And also, like you said, Quan Alexander, Landon Roberts, they're playing well right now. But it's been that rotation that's been healthy for the Steelers and helping them a lot of ways. Another thing that could help them is if Minkah Fitzpatrick returns sometime soon. I'm not sure if he'll return this week with his hamstring injury, but his return could also solve a lot of things for the middle part of that defense moving forward, and especially in a competitive AFC North that just went 4-0 for another weekend in NFL football. We'll talk about the AFC North on the other side of this break here, because ultimately the Steelers are still competing in a very – they're still second. They're still holding on to second. But, man, the other teams are not making it easy to stay in this race for the playoffs, even though they're in it right now. We'll talk about that and what the Steelers need to do moving forward here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, I want to remind you this show is also brought to you by Savinus, Kane, and Gallucci. They're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now. That's Savinus, Kane, and Gallucci for your free consultation. Also brought to you by GameTime.co. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. If you ever had to buy tickets for an event but weren't comfortable because you weren't sure if what you were paying for was worth the price because you didn't know the view of the seats, guess what? GameTime is the best app you can download right to your phone to help figure that out. When you look at a seat on GameTime, they show you the view from the seat. So you're not just seeing it on the seating chart. You're seeing what you're actually going to look like when you're actually sitting in those seats. And you're also going to see all the real prices of the seats. A lot of places will show you, will have hidden fees that when you get to the end of buying the ticket process, you're saying, wait a minute, I thought I was paying this price. Not on Game Time. Game Time makes sure that when you click on a price, that is the price that you're paying, and you know all those prices up front. And all it takes is two clicks of a button, the tickets are yours, and you're getting in to enjoy your favorite event. And again, it's sporting events. If you want to catch a Steelers game, want to catch a Penguins game, want to catch Pitt games, because those are going up, all those are available on the Game Time app right now that you can download tickets right to your phone and even book tickets up to an hour after the event has started. And again, Game Time has the best prices, and they're so confident they give you a best price guarantee that can't be beat. If you find tickets in the same section or row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to their website, GameTime.co. Term and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, talking Steelers here. Actually, we're talking AFC North here because, man, Ray, another weekend, and this division continues to not lose. I believe this is now back-to-back weekends where they've gone 4-0. I think they've gone undefeated in three of the last four NFL weekends. That is ridiculous. If the playoffs were to start right now, the entire division would be in the playoffs. The Ravens would be the 2 seed at 7-2, tied with the Chiefs there. The Chiefs would get the tiebreaker, but then the Steelers would be the 5th seed. The Browns would be the 6th seed, and the Bengals would be the 7th seed. And man, this is a tight race. And that means teams like the Bills, the Jets, the Texans, they'd all be out on this race. Is it actually possible that we could see an entire division make the playoffs? Or do you think we start seeing some distance being created in the coming weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably like a 5-7% chance, Chris, just because you're going to be playing each other down the stretch here. I know the Steelers have two coming up against the Bengals and the Browns. And unless those games are just right down the middle, split evenly, and they all finish 10-7 or 9-8, you know, it's going to be hard for all four to make the playoffs. But that doesn't detract from what this division is. I think this is by far the best division in football. You look at some of the scores that, that Baltimore has been winning by. You look at some of the impressive victories that Cleveland has had. You look at the way the Bengals have come on here. It's very impressive. And it's that time of year. You mentioned it. You know, people are starting to look at the NFL playoff picture. I think right now, you know, if you want to look at some of the betting sites, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Cincinnati are all favored to make the playoffs. The Steelers are anywhere like in that 43 to 47% range. If you look at ESPN's, you know, football power index, or if you look at the New York Times postseason simulator, they're right there. So if they win again this weekend, that's probably even going to be bumped up closer to 50%. So, you know, going undefeated every week for this division, it's not sustainable, but it's pretty fun right now watching all these teams go out there every Sunday because they're winning, and oftentimes they're winning in impressive fashion.
Indeed, that, you know, it's been crazy. I mean, you look at some of these scores. The Ravens blow out another team. They blew out the Lions a few weeks ago. They blew out the Seahawks this weekend. The Browns against a Cardinals team that is clearly given up, sure, but they still shut them out 27-0. That's impressive. The Bengals looking very strong against the Buffalo Bills, like they're in a different class than the Buffalo Bills. And man, you look at that and you're sitting here, the Steelers, and you're just sitting here like, man, can you keep this up? Ray, in your opinion, can the Steelers team keep up with the rest of this division? Because one thing that everyone's going to point to is, man, they're not scoring a lot of points. Man, they're winning by such little margins. But you look at the rest of their schedule. This next week, they got the Packers at home, not an impressive team. They did win this weekend, but I haven't been impressed by Jordan Love. You get a rematch with the Browns, a team that you've already beaten. You do have the Bengals on the road in a couple of weeks, but then after that, you have the Cardinals at home, the Patriots at home, and the Colts on the road after that. If they just win the Packers, Cardinals, Patriots, and Colts games, they're a 9-win team. Right. That doesn't even include getting their rematch with the Browns or the Ravens or the Seahawks in this game. And 9 wins gets you a good shot at the playoffs, at least in most years. Do you like the Steelers' chances to make the playoffs right now and to stay in the thick of the division?
Those four games you mentioned, you're right. They win those, they get to 9, they'll be favored in all four of those games. To me, can you get one upset in those final games, either at Seattle, at Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, or Cincinnati at home? 9-8, Chris, I don't know if that's going to do it. Right now the Steelers are 4-2 in conference, but if you project that out and they lose some of those other games, I think they'd probably be close to 6-6 at the end if they lost all those games that they're supposed to lose and win all those games they're supposed to win. 6-6 might not get it done from a tiebreaker perspective. So obviously it'll depend on how the Texans, the Chargers, you know, the Bills, all these other teams, how they do in the final stretch of the season. I would not feel comfortable at 9-8. I think 9-8 is doable. I might even say likely, but I would not feel comfortable about my playoff chances if it was just 9-8. I think they need to get to 10 wins to get into the postseason.
Oh no, I agree. I'm just looking at the games that I consider very winnable for them. And then again, we're not even, again, I think the Seahawks are a team that has not, they're kind of still, I think they're kind of living off the hype of how they performed last year, especially Geno Smith, but they have not looked particularly great this year. The Seahawks have, and in these division games, you know, anything can happen in these contests. The Steelers are 2-0. And I think you look back at those two wins over the Ravens and the Browns and all the crazy things that happened in those games. Those were such huge wins because now not only are the Steelers 5-3, but they're 2-0 in the division in a competitive division. So let's say the Steelers do keep pace with the Ravens and all the other teams, and it gets down to the nitty gritty and the Steelers finish maybe 4-2 in the division. They're going to have a lot of tiebreakers in their favor to bump them up in the division and keep the other above the other teams if they tie with them. And again, when I'm talking about the 9 wins, those are the games that I think that they absolutely should win in the rest of the season. But if they go out and they win those four games and one or two more, I think they're in a great position. But the other thing you have to consider is, too, the Browns, don't exactly have a tough schedule the rest of the way. Sure, they got the Ravens this week. We'll see how that game plays out. Then they play the Steelers again. But after that, they got the Broncos, who haven't been too impressive, even though they did beat the Chiefs recently. They've got the Rams, who haven't been too impressive. They do have the Jaguars. That could be a game with, that the Steelers use to catch up on them. But some of these last games, the Bears at home, the Texans, maybe the Jets, and then they finish on the road against the Bengals. But those, there's a lot of games on their schedule that's winnable too. I don't think this is a cakewalk to the playoffs, but again, if the Steelers keep finding ways to pull games out and keep being this gritty team, I can see the path to the playoffs there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to advance this conversation, you know, to the postseason and what has to happen, can the Steelers offense take another step? Can you feel better about the Steelers offense? Let's say they got into the playoffs. Will there be any more hope than there was in 2021 when they kind of got their doors blown off in Kansas City? You know, same thing with the Browns in 2020. I don't know, you know, the Steelers were probably favored in that game, but that wasn't a team that was playing great at the end of that season. So for me, right. I mean, it's great that the defense is balling out. I mean, it's impressive. It's kind of the formula that we all kind of thought was going to happen. It's happened to this point, but for them to be a serious, legitimate contender, a team that might win a playoff game, Chris, Kenny Pickett's got to step it up. Passing game's got to step it up, and the running game's got to become more consistent. If that happens, hey, maybe you're peaking at the right time. I just haven't seen much evidence that that is going to happen here at the midway point of the season.
Hey, we've all been asking when it's going to happen for about 9 weeks now, and it hasn't happened yet as far as the offense. But they at least took a small step forward in their last win, and they've what won three out of their last four. If they can, like, I agree with you entirely. If this offense finds something, isn't terrible, then this team becomes so much better, and it balances what the effort the defense has given, and it could put them in a position to be playing much better football come December when they need to win a lot of those football games down the stretch. But we have a lot more to see here. Mike Tomlin speaks Tuesday. We'll hear from him and his thoughts on the Steelers' upcoming matchup with the Green Bay Packers, and we'll be getting you for that matchup. We're getting ready for that matchup all week long here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com for all of our written work. Thanks so much, Ray, for joining us here in the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're both from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed. Subscribe to this channel for all of our daily content that comes from all of our Pittsburgh sports reporters when it comes to our sports department. We will be back Wednesday with more thoughts here on the Pittsburgh Steelers right here on North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.